there and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for the show. As I record this, I'm actually here in Orlando, Florida, where we've just wrapped up Red Hat's North American Partner Conference, and that's exactly where we'll start the show this week, as we're joined by Luc Villeneuve, country leader for Red Hat Canada, who will talk about his experience in his first year plus at Red Hat, how they're doing in the Canadian channel, and where it goes from here. Then we'll be joined by John Beimfor, Senior Director of Integration for Avnet Logistics, who will offer us the rundown on the distributor's Phoenix Area Global Solutions Center, its hub for integration and technical services. Should be a great show. Let's get right into it. All right, welcome to sunny, at least we assume sunny, Florida, where we are here at Red Hat's annual North American Partner Conference. I'm joined by Luc Villeneuve, country leader for Red Hat in Canada. Luc, thanks for taking the time.
Good morning, Robert. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Your first NAPC here with Red Hat.
That's correct.
How's it going for you? How's the experience at the event for you thus far?
It's been very good. In fact, I was so impressed with the quantities of Canadian partner that have came to see us here this week. We have about 30 partners in Florida today for our event, and new partners as well, which is nice. Partners that were ready partner in the past are now starting to hear from their customers about more about open source solution in Red Hat. So the ready partners are adding their certification, increasing their certification. In fact, I have a few stats on it. Last year, our cloud partner certification increased by 85%. Big uptake on the certification. Middleware certification, 66%. Mm. And our data center certification, which is our kind of legacy Linux kind of certification, increased by 20%. And what I'm finding also is there is a several ready partner, which is the lowest level partner, that now are becoming advanced partner, which means they are adding a lot of certification to help us to penetrate more the marketplace as a whole. And also, as you may maybe remember when we talked last year, where I said I'm going to really try to go do more business with our channel partners. Mm-hmm. So in 1 year, we moved the needle from about 44% business with our channel to 69%.
Wow, so that's in line.
In 1 year.
That's in line or maybe a point above the overall Red Hat business.
That's correct. And if I can move this to 80%, this year, we will. And it's just a question of getting the partner more engaged. And the fact that they are going through a lot of certification training just makes them more reliable for us to work with and to bring us in front of customers. So it's really exciting.
So was it cultural change? Was it that jump in certification? That's a pretty not quite doubling, but not too far from doubling the channel business.
I think our conversation with our customers last year, we did several very large events in Canada and also a lot of smaller events like user group events and workshop events. And one thing that happens is we started to sold out. All our events were sold out. So last year we had about 3,000 face-to-face people coming to our event. And so that's substantial. So the partners started to hear the buzz, started to hear about our solution. We started to hear about the wins and they started to be excited about us. And the deals are starting to get a little bit larger. So the channel partners start to find deals bigger, which is more margin, more interesting for them as well. So that's a combination of many things, not one thing, but a combination of many things. As well, we did a few new hires last year. We had a full-time marketing manager in Canada, which we never had before. That was really helpful. We also had a full-time alliance manager, which we never had before, so we hired an alliance manager. And really, we had one channel manager before, so he was overwhelmed with too much work. Now with two guys, it's divided work in two, and our marketing manager, so a combination of many things. Okay. But I think we executed quite well on demand generation, creating some visibility for Red Hat across coast to coast. So it was a busy year.
All right. I'm guessing if you saw the percentage of channel business jump that much, the overall business itself must have also seen some nice growth. What did the kind of overall business story for Red Hat in Canada?
Yeah, we did about 20% growth, similar to what the corporation has maintained, which was a departure from the year before or the last 2 years. So now we're landing into a comfortable place compared to corporate, and I think this year is going to be even better. Now we have the all the tools are in place, all the people are in place, versus last year we had to build that up over two, three, four quarters. But now we're starting out of the gate with all the people in place.
All right, great. You touched on, you know, the role that OpenStack and the cloud kind of business has had already. Do you see we're getting past that kind of classic Canadian business conservatism, or that kind of wait until someone else has done it kind of general feel that we see with new technologies in the Canadian market?
That's true. Canadians tend to be a bit more conservative, and it's true that Canada is behind compared to the U.S. in adoptions of our technology. Although, when I look at the amount of POCs we have on the go, last year we did about 250 POCs, proof of concept on our new technology for the customer, around CloudForm, OpenStack, JBoss, OpenShift even. So there is a lot of demand for our product, and people want to test this first, which is normal. And so we've been very active in bringing the technology to the customer. It's a free POC. We don't charge for POC, so it usually takes 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 days. And it's pretty quick. It doesn't require a lot of technology compared to a different manufacturer. Maybe you need more hardware or software or licensing. For us, it's pretty straightforward. When you do a POC, you just need the time of the people to do the POC with them. And the proof points are really high. Our closing ratio are over 80% when we do the POC, so that helps. And we try to do those with the partners as well. So the partner now, because of their certification over the last year, they can do the POC themselves, which is very useful. So we can duplicate the work in the marketplace to create more demand for Red Hat. So it's pretty cool.
All right. Circling back to the channel growth you touched on a few minutes ago, was that sort of with the traditional or established Red Hat channel, or were you actively recruiting, adding to that community over the last the year or 16 months?
Very good question, and I'm happy you're asking this. What we've seen is partners that were dormant. Mm-hmm. Ready partner, we have about 300 ready partner in Canada. Mm-hmm. So everybody pretty much can sell Red Hat. But if you look at the revenue coming out from these 300 revenue, it was very tiny. So we handpick some of the guys that we thought could be a good fit for us, and we spent time with them, and now they are becoming ready to moving to advance. So we did some work around the partner that were not really hitting any home run with their head to head, and now they're starting to be doing some good business. That was probably where we focused the most. And last year, before, we only had one premier partner in Canada. Now we have a few more. So a premier partner means they get a higher level of skill set and so forth, and have more revenue. So that's really exciting to see some partners starting to be more relevant. Our business become more relevant to them, so that's cool. And we also started to invest into the ISV last year with Avnet, which is the RSV, the partner that we try to draw from potential ISV partners. And now we're starting to grow that business as well. So there's another segment of our partner community that is starting to enable different technology around ISVs. And we also have seen a big uptake of NFV technology, where the telco have now starting to invest quite a bit with NFV, and we're spending a lot of time with the telco, companies like Bell, TELUS, Contron, Syscon, Mitel, all these companies that some of them we never talked to before. Right. Now they're starting to enable ISV business with us in a different way than before. And I have to say that the alliance partner, the Cisco, the Dell, the HP, the IBM, we've done an amazing amount of work with them last year with the alliance guy that we hired, Rick Santing. He did a phenomenal job for us to really be in front of them. And our Paul Pigney, our solution architect director, spent a lot of time training their solution architect. So it was a lot of effort to lift the community of a partner and alliance. So it's been quite a busy year.
I'm not going to say that's the only dream, but that's certainly a big dream for a lot of vendors, is getting that kind of partner who's come on, done one or two transactional deals, and then kind of gone about their merry way and re-engaging them, which it sounds like you've had some success in doing. What did you find worked to get those kinds of partners re-engaged and kind of moving forward with you guys, rather than just kind of having signed up and you know, sold a product or two and then moved on?
Yeah, typical things we did very out of the gate last year. We did We signed a lot of teaming agreement with partners, tried to identify the accounts, customers, where they had good relationship, mm-hmm. and maybe Red Hat did not have that good a relationship. Tried to create this teaming agreement where if we can generate some demand, we're going to work with you for closing the deals and so forth. So I think the partner started to trust us a lot more because of this teaming agreement. So we signed about 75 teaming agreements in Q1 alone last year. Something that a departure from basically nothing. So right there, partners started to be very comfortable working with Red Hat, and that showed through the year. As well as we were able to, through our marketing manager, be able to increase our funding for MDF funding. Mm-hmm. And substantially, actually, we doubled the business, the funding throughout the year and this year as well. And that helps the partner to create events with us. So the partner were joint events with a lot of the partner in the alliance. So we spent a fair amount of money with a partner to try to drum up some business with their customer base. So that was a welcome from the partner, something we had not done in a while. So that was helpful.
All right. Great. Shifting to looking forward a little bit, what's kind of the game plan now, and what are you focused on through the rest of calendar 2015?
Well, same what we did last year, but probably more of it. We have, only in Q1, we have about 20 events that we are doing in Canada. Last week, we had one with our user group, and we had sold out. It was sold out again. We're doing more also hands-on events where people can bring their laptops. We mm-hmm. set up an environment, a network, where people can actually test the technology, use the technology. We have experts in the room, be able to ask any question you want, and if they're struggling, trying to do something, that we're there to assist them. So we're doing a fair amount of hands-on events, which is very helpful at the technical level. Last year, we had a handful of people at this event, the partner event. This year, we have 30 people, so we see the big interest at Red Hat. Last year, we had at Summit, we had about 95 customers. This year, our goal is to have 100 customers and invite partners to bring their customers. So we're going to be pushing this very hard for our June event in Boston. And we have the full team in place now versus last year. I was still hiring people, looking for additional resources to bring to Canada. Now the full team is in place day one, so it's kind of cool. So we expect a big expectation for Canada next year.
All right, great. Any parting shots for the Canadian channel community as we wrap this up?
We're open for business, guys. We really want your interest in Red Hat. What I heard this week from a few of our partners, specifically on the West Coast, it seems like customers are starting to call our partner to see if they are certified with Red Hat or authorized to resell. So now it's a very interesting phenomenon when customers start to call the partner first to see if they can. So I think that interest about Red Hat technology is just going to keep growing, and the partner will benefit, and we'll benefit together.
All right, perfect. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Bob.
And we are joined now by John Beimfor, Senior Director of Integration for Avnet Logistics. We are going to talk a little bit about Avnet's Global Solutions Center located in Chandler, Arizona, which is just outside of Phoenix. If you try to explain it to someone who hasn't been to the area, it's kind of like explaining the difference between Brampton and Mississauga to someone who hasn't been to the greater Toronto area. But I digress. John, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thanks, Rob, for having me.
Glad to have you aboard. And as John knows, and you, dear listener, are about to find out, I actually had the opportunity to tour the Solutions Center with John a little earlier this year. Impressive stuff going on there. Wanted to take some time on the podcast to kind of give some resellers who may not have had the chance to get through the facility in the recent past, a chance to find out a little bit more about what goes on there. And I guess, John, maybe we can kick things off with a little bit of an overview of the GSC and what you guys are up to there.
Sure. Thanks, Rob. The GSC, the Global Solution Center, is Avnet's core integration center, where we take all hardware, software, and combine that in hundreds of different variants. Integration solutions for our partners. We do this with end-user customization requirements. We do this with repeatable appliance designs. Our customers now include suppliers, end-users, VARs of all levels of complexity, helping us take standard platforms and repeat them and then offer offer unique permutations on every unique end-user location and everything in between. So that would include servers, that would include blade centers, that would include fully integrated racks, that would include converged technology and everything in between.
All right, great. You guys have just celebrated 6 years, 6 year anniversary earlier this year. We like to say in just about all aspects of this industry, the only constant is change. How has the Solution Center changed since it opened its door some 6+ years ago?
That's a great question. 6 years ago when we built the facility, we wanted to build it with the ability to scale and evolve the types of configurations that we do. And that was actually a very good strategy. We watched our core volume transition from server and white box integration, and we still do a large amount of that. But we have definitely moved upward in the area of complexity. We now configure software in a much more detailed fashion than we have in the past, less repeatable designs, more custom unique solutions. We have increased dramatically the proportion of our business that includes rack integration. It's been very exciting to watch that and to add and develop the skill levels to support that. Along with that, for the site comes the evolution of all the fundamental resources required to build integrated racks, power, network, infrastructure, air conditioning, everything in between, power, generator, backup. And we leverage trigger investments, plans that Avnet's made to help spend money at the right time to help grow that proportion of our business. And the plan has worked out very well. And in fact, thanks to some lean improvement, continuous improvement initiatives, we've been able to make better use of our space and extend the long-term potential that the GFC has to offer our partners and customers.
Very cool, and obviously we're nowadays talking about some technology ideas that weren't really hatched 6 years ago when it started. So some good planning there. You touch on integration. Integration is part of your title. In fact, I assume you guys get pretty heavily involved with that. Can you talk a little bit about what you guys do in terms of integration at the Solution Center?
Absolutely. We essentially will take a hardware sale, and we will engage with our partners, and we will offer them services that take a multitude of parts and potential configurable options, and we really roll that into a turnkey solution. So instead of getting a bunch of boxes and figuring this out on site, we can put all that together at the GFC. We can test it. We can allow them to even remote connect, so when it arrives on site, it's ready to go. And integrating means putting all those parts together, putting all those services and that software into the end solution, but also understanding what our partners' needs up front are up front and helping develop that solution so it's the optimal potential end result of what that customer is trying to do or what that partner is trying to sell into the marketplace. So we have watched the evolution transition from integrating our process to a design already completely done by end customers, moving on into working with our suppliers to help them solve different integration solution options and designs that they want to sell into the marketplace. And now we combine a supplier's platform with a reseller's variant slants, different configuration options that they might want to sell, and we help put all that together and uniquely integrate that on each and every design that comes through the factory.
All right, great. You've touched on how things have changed from Avnet's perspective in the GSC and from an integration standpoint. But as this process has changed on your side, how has it changed the way that you guys engage with your reseller base around those integration services? What are they asking for different things these days? Are they looking for different integration services?
That's a really good question. We, in the past, our partner base has typically been very, very savvy in both hardware and software, and they have been really good at selling designs that have been pre-tested, pre-validated by a lot of our suppliers today. So where they were very deep technically, mm-hmm. and they were able to hand us a clear bill of materials or a clear work instruction today we still have those partners that have a heavy IT investment on their part, and they're still capable of doing that. But we have a large growing percentage of our partners that know what their end customers want, but they are far more open to recommendations and advisement on that technical scope of work, on the selection of product. And more importantly, they are very open to cross-branded product sales. So maybe it's not an IBM or an HP pure stack of hardware and software. Maybe it's a little bit of both and some other third-party cabling or other hardware or software that would complement the utopian end-user design, maybe for cost optimization, maybe it's performance. But with all these different options at play, they have looked to Avnet to help advise on what the right solutions could be. And then based on what their needs are, be it cost, be it speed, or all of the above, help put together the right model for them. And that has shifted a huge opportunity for Avnet to add additional value to our partners by being the expert advisor and providing those recommended solutions to them and helping better our organization, our processes to help make sure that we can deliver those quickly, effectively, and efficiently.
You guys have pretty extensive reach with your Global Solutions Center. And as you touch on, you know, the customer mix is changing, still including VARs who tend to be regional or national, but also expanding out to vendors and other organizations that are probably looking at things on a much more global scale. Are we seeing a shift in terms of scale and scope for your integration business from a regional or national one to one that's global?
That's a really good question. The right answer is both. We definitely have VARs that are predominantly regional today. In fact, most VARs are regional, but a lot of their end customers are global customers. And they've reached out and asked Avnet to help support their business in multiple geographies. And they've loved the relationship, be it European, Asia-Pacific, or in the Americas. And they have wanted Avnet to help them replicate those solutions in all the different parts of the world in the same way, in some cases uniquely, but they certainly want to be engaged globally. They want one voice, they want one focus on process, and they want to make sure that their needs are met. And we're seeing this as well in some of the supplier relationships where we're building on behalf of our suppliers, and we're offering those end solutions through the channel, and we end up with some of the same requirements. We really need to be able to design anywhere and build anywhere. So while we do still have a very strong and robust regional business, it's been exciting to develop a design anywhere, build anywhere capability and roll that out to all of our different 9 integration locations around the world and make sure that we can provide those services when required.
Great. You've touched on the converged concept a couple times already, and it's certainly an area that Avnet has been focusing on a lot lately, as have an increasing number of VARs, obviously. Can you give us an idea of the converged capabilities you guys have at the center and how the move towards converged has affected your operations?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and that's been one of our fastest-growing and most exciting areas of integration. We have deep converged capabilities today as this concept was evolving. I mean, it's been around for a long time, but as we saw that more prevalent in what our VARs are asking for and what Avnet is partnering with our suppliers to offer the market, we saw a huge need for technical expertise during engineering, during onboarding, program management, NPI, and we have invested heavily in creating those capabilities. Back to some of the earlier points on technical advisement, maybe the best selection of products and software, or maybe it's the best way to get a highly configured converged solution together and on site as quickly as possible. We have worked very closely with all the different groups in Avnet to help make sure that we've got a very robust process so we can make those recommendations, get the products in, get the solution identified, and get it put together. So while that's been coming together, we've seen a great volume of product coming through the facility. We've seen converged solutions that have every potential variant in hardware and software that is visible in the market today. And we have been on the front end of helping design and partner with suppliers on coming up with those solutions. And in some cases, we've watched those solutions go to market, do very well, and we have shifted into the high-volume cost optimization model, and we've been able to really fine-tune our factory around that process and making sure we get to market very, very quickly. So that is a fast-growing, if not the fastest-growing part of our business. And in turn, what's been exciting with global in mind is we've been able to take those processes and replicate those in all of our facilities around the world. So, again, we have those same capabilities in every geography.
All right, great. Green has certainly become an increasing issue over the 6 years that you guys have been doing Global Solutions Center in just about any aspect of the industry, but especially in a business like yours. How has green impacted what you guys do at the Global Solutions Center and your other integration locations that you were touching on a little bit worldwide?
Good point. We've always been very focused on sustainability. So we look at the triple bottom line. We make sure that that we're as green as we can be, and we want to protect the environment. But we have taken a goal of 99% or better in terms of the products we prevent from going at landfills, and we've been challenged in figuring out a solution to continue that trend with the growth in the space of converged or rack integration. The sheer volume of byproducts, plastics and foams and cardboard has been astronomical, but we have been successful in maintaining our momentum. We have found new ways to recycle more faster. We have got in and had some success in the area of prevention, byproduct prevention, working and partnering with our suppliers. Bulk packs versus individual packs is one of the great examples. We found better ways to store materials and find places that will take large volumes of foam or metal or other things, and there is some financial benefit, but our primary focus is ensuring that there is no adverse impacts on the environment. And we've been very successful at integrating a lot of the recycling and reuse capabilities that Avnet now has through the acquisition of a series of companies that we have wrapped into our Avnet services portfolio. So we've been able to take cables and other hardware products that are deintegrated from material that we are putting together for an end partner or end user, and we've been able to channel those through our Avnet services groups and ensure that that they not only don't go into the ground, but there is some reuse capability for a lot of our customer base and help Avnet positively absorb the expenses associated with performing those activities. So it's been a definite journey, but we have been successful at achieving our goals and maintaining the bar that we've set for ourselves in the area of green.
All right, great. What trends do you see shaping the future of integration and the Global Solutions Center? What's going to determine what comes next for you guys?
I think no question, converged is growing quickly, and the needs there are very different than our traditional higher volume server blade center work that we've seen in the past. So the facility evolution will be constant, and that's going to change on a regular basis. There's no easy way to plan 2 or 3 years ahead. We certainly have to be prepared and have facilities that have the right culture of excellence built into them, the right continuous improvement techniques, and the right power and technical depth available to us to continue to scale the operations. Certainly, skill sets are becoming increasingly critical. As converged takes shape, it requires a larger and broader level of depth for our technical folks. So we've been very proud to have 100% A-plus certified folks in any technical role within our organization, and now we are taking that up a notch, finding new levels and new bars so that we have a technical level of expertise that can solve all the potential problems that our VARs may have and then help our suppliers optimize solutions. They're using untested different variants of both hardware and software and just an unthinkable potential limitless number of outcomes of technical configuration. So we are certainly focusing on both of those areas to prepare our factories and prepare our staff to grow. And then as we find a best practice, repeat that global.
Right on. Okay. That covers kind of the long-term vision, I think, but more tactically, what are you guys doing in the short term? You know, are there any new services or capabilities that you're developing in the Solution Center?
Sure. We have found ways to build smaller factories inside our factories that have allowed some of our end customers and some of our partners to completely outsource their integration. And we've always had a very core and deep integration capability and a lot of great supplier relationships that have allowed us to do many, many different things from a supply chain and a technical standpoint. But now what we found is that a series of unique capabilities have allowed our customers or partners to transition not only their core integration, which fit very well in our portfolio, but the other custom unique attributes that made them great, we've been able to replicate those inside our shop. So that those variety of unique capabilities ranges from web portals through custom testing environments, and in some cases acting on behalf of our end customers and technical engagements directly with end users. So we found a way to make those unique capabilities part of our factory, and it's allowed them to seamlessly transition all of their factory needs and allow them to work and focus their capital on what they do best and better scale their operations.
Great. As we head into 2015, just around the corner now, what are the major initiatives or changes that you guys have planned for the Global Solution Center in the next calendar year?
Certainly, the continued operational improvement around converged technology. We have a culture of continuous improvement, so there is never a week that goes by that we're not trying to better our process. We are also working in the next year specifically at partnering better with our suppliers on understanding how to take their solutions and couple that with hardware and software needs that may not be part of what they're offering today. These would be unique cross-branded type of solutions, if you will. So we have a lot of specific initiatives aimed around that. And then there are some very specific global initiatives that aren't broad. Maybe they're not at the facility level, but they're taking unique practices and replicating those for customers who see global expansion on the very near-term horizon.
All right, great. Thanks for taking the time, and thanks for the tour earlier this year, and thanks for taking the time today. I certainly would recommend any Avnet partners or prospective Avnet partners who are in the Phoenix area and have a chance, go and check it out. It's a pretty tremendous facility with a lot going on there. John, I appreciate your taking the time today.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, and you're always welcome to stop by. Love having you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So there you have it, another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast just about in the books. I'd like to thank Luke and John for joining us today, of course all the sponsors who continue to support the site, and of course you, the listener, for joining us today. We'll be back in the near future. Among other guests in the coming weeks, we'll be joined by Cisco Global Channel Chief Bruce Klein and his Canadian counterpart Dave Diabru to preview Cisco Partner Summit 2015 coming later this month in Montreal. So be on the lookout for that. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.